Earlier this week, I asked my wife, what do you think I should pray on? She said, humility. I thought, that's a great topic to always preach on. So I started looking into this topic of humility and exploring in my thoughts. And funny story that always comes to mind is my wife Lisa and I, we have this saying that our dog always keeps us humble. We have a golden retriever. She's about 2.5 years old. And, you know, we train her, and she's pretty obedient. And those times when we start to get kind of prideful, yeah, this is going great. You know, she does something to humble us. One example was I was at the park with her and, you know, just going for a walk and playing. And I noticed that, hey, she wants to run. So I, you know, took the leash off and was throwing the stick for her, fetching. And all of a sudden she spotted this old lady and her husband and their small dog, probably close to 200 yards from us, you know, fair distance. And all of a sudden she just stops, and I was thinking, oh no, she just bolts for them. And so I start running after her, and by the time I got there, she'd, you know, had this dog that they had on a leash, and the leash had, you know, the dog was chasing her actually around and wrapped the leash around this old lady's legs, and she was on the ground, and I'm just like, oh man. And, you know, it is very humbling. So, you know, we have things in life where we start to get prideful, but our dog keeps us humble. But the same thing in our Christian walk. You know, God humbles us. We get prideful in different areas in our life, and we need to be taught lessons in being humble. But this is a characteristic that God's Word, the Bible, teaches us about, humility. You know, what does the Bible say about humility? What does the Bible say about pride? It says God opposes what? The prideful, the proud, and shows grace to the humble, right? So this is an important characteristic that God's people should strive to have in their lives. Pastor Rick Warren, you guys know Rick Warren, right? Saddleback Church. In the States, he says, the most effective defense against personal sin is humility. All the other godly virtues flow from it. Interesting thought, right? We'll get back to that pretty soon. But I was thinking about humility. And there is no better model for humility for us than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about how our Lord showed us how to be humble. One story always sticks out in my mind is when he washes the disciples' feet. So let's read John chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. When Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. It's interesting how John's gospel omits kind of the institution of communion as it happens during the Last Supper, as it's told in all the other three gospels. But John also omits this argument that the disciples get into of arguing who amongst them is the greatest. But what John tells us the other gospels doesn't is that Jesus washes the disciples' feet. So we owe John this insight into the humble nature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that from this verse that Jesus knew that his time was coming, that he's going to depart the world. He's returning to the Father. He was with his most loved disciples, his inner circle, you could say. These were men who had lived with Jesus, followed him. They knew who he was, the Son of God. They had seen the revelation through him of who the Heavenly Father is, the true nature of God. And Jesus was revealing to them the love, the forgiveness, the grace and mercy of God through himself. The time was short. Jesus knew his time was coming to an end. And what did he want to focus on? Showing love to his disciples and showing the way of how to serve one another in a humble way. He was about to go to the cross. And I guess that is the most humble example we have from our Lord and Savior of humility. Think about it. The Son of God, through who everything had been created, humbled himself to die on a cross. The scorn and shame that came from the beating that he had before going to the cross. This isn't just a mere man, a prophet of God. We're talking about God incarnate himself in flesh, humbling himself to brutal beating and torture and dying on the cross because he loves you and I. Think about the humility that is modeled in that. But here we have Jesus Christ washing the disciples' feet. The act of washing feet was very common back then. You know, in those days, there was dirt roads. You'd walk on these streets. Your feet would get dirty. So it was a common practice that you would enter a house and there would be a bowl of water or some kind of bucket and you'd wash your feet, or there would be a servant that would wash your feet. And it was usually the task of a servant or slave to do this. And it was sometime during the meal that Jesus got up from the table, removed his outer garment, tied a towel around his waist, and began the menial task of a servant washing the disciples' feet. And Jesus' act is all the more remarkable because this is a servant slave's task, right? But Jesus wants to show them the final proof of his love and model the humility that they are to show one another. And also what we learn as God's people today, the model of humility and serving of servanthood towards one another. We don't know what prompted Jesus to get up at that moment to wash the disciples' feet. But however, we do read in Luke 22:24 that at some point the disciples began to argue about who would be the greatest among them in the kingdom of heaven. Perhaps this is when Jesus got up to wash their feet, to show that he, the Son of God, the greatest among them, of all of us, took the task of a servant slave and washed their feet, removing his outer garments, taking the appearance of a servant and slave. Jesus willingly takes up this task to be a servant and serving one another. But that's what our Lord and Savior did living here on earth. Matthew 20:28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many." H.A. Hodges had questions about God's existence. He was a young, brilliant professor of philosophy at Oxford University. One day as he strolled down the street, he passed by an art store, and his attention was grabbed by a painting. In it showed the picture of Jesus kneeling to wash his disciples' feet. Hodges knew the story recorded in John chapter 13, God incarnate, washing human feet. But suddenly the sheer meaning of the scene gripped this young philosopher's heart. God humbled himself to do that lowliest of tasks. He thought, if God is like that, then that God shall be my God. Seeing that painting was one of the circumstances that caused Hodges to surrender his life to the true God, the foot-washing God. It is remarkable the humility that our God modeled and showed us. Think about that for a while. God himself humbled himself to the lowliest task of washing human feet. What an example for us. What an example for us to live by. As I close, I just want to continue into verses 6 to 11. So Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, and he comes to Simon Peter. And we read, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. So there was total silence, apparently, and he gets to Simon Peter, and he says, Lord, you will never wash my feet. You are too great for this. You are my master, my Lord. You are the Son of God. No way are you going to wash my feet. But what does Jesus say? Unless I wash you, you will have no part of me. And here Jesus is talking to the task, what was going to happen at the cross, where he's going to shed his blood that cleanses us of all our sins. And this was symbolic of that coming washing of Jesus' blood that he sheds on the cross. The new covenant that is made, that we have forgiveness in Jesus' blood. He carried our sins to the cross, died for all of our sins, and when we confess him as our Lord and Savior, make him our Savior, he washes our sins clean, and we take part in him. So what does Peter reply? He says, No. He says, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands, my head. Because Peter did not want to lose Jesus Christ. He wanted to be in Jesus' presence. He wanted to be a part of Jesus. And we are too, as we confess our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing that we celebrate when we take communion. I'm looking for the communion tray. I'm looking forward to having that where we can pass it out, the elements together. But does everyone have the cup and the bread this morning? If you didn't, please go to the lobby there and grab a cup, and we'll take communion together. Jesus says a person who has had a bath needs not only to wash his feet, his whole body is clean. What does this mean? That a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. It means that Jesus' blood has power every day to forgive our sins. We're continually cleansed by Jesus Christ and his blood when we confess him as our Savior. But just like in life, in those days especially, when you're walking and your feet get dirty and dirt cling to your feet, you know, we are imperfect. We walk in a sinful world, a fallen world, and we are imperfect and we do sin. And we need to cleanse our sins daily. And that's kind of the symbolism there of washing our feet, washing that daily sin, that grime off of our lives on a daily basis by the blood of Jesus. And that's where we need humility, and that comes back to what Pastor Rick Warren says, that the most effective defense against personal sin is humility, and all the other godly virtues flow from it. You see, we need to humble ourselves daily before our Lord and Savior, acknowledge our sin, that we need his forgiveness, and ask for forgiveness. And that continuing cleansing power of Jesus Christ washes us clean. Before we take communion here, I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. This is actually what we read, this scripture, on our Bible study on Wednesday evening. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."